All right, good morning, everyone. 9:15, we're going to start. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of the Rocky Mountains and the snow. We pray for folks that are still out sick, and but just thank you that we can gather in freedom as Americans to worship you. Bless this time of study now and just all the activities of the day. May everything just be a joyful act of worship that we can appreciate as your children because of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. All right, I'll share a couple words of wisdom now because we have more words of wisdom for the service. But funny signs, they're humorous because we understand, once again, the maybe they're not worded very correctly. Humorous, but I make the point that sometimes when it comes to our series, Scripture, if we aren't precise with how we are reading God's Word, we can get off the track as well. So here's a headline. Man struck by lightning faces battery charge. And the comment is, he probably is the battery charge. New study of obesity looks for larger test group. Astronaut takes blame for gas in spacecraft. Shouldn't have had beans before going to space. Kids make nutritious snacks. Do they taste like chicken? Local high school dropouts cut in half. I saw that horror movie, The Chainsaw Massacre. Did you see that movie? Hospitals are sued by 7-foot doctors. Boy, they were tall. And the winner is, which with the tornadoes and what's happened in Alabama, that's been bad. But typhoon rips through cemetery, hundreds dead. So, well, if you've been here over the last 7-8 weeks, appreciate Dr. Merwin, good study on the life of Paul. I appreciate that because Paul's a real person. He interacted with real people, with real problems, and when you read his 13 letters in the New Testament that he wrote, he is addressing real issues, which is part of, when we study Scripture, meaning. What was Paul addressing in Corinth, in Ephesus, in all these towns? So thank you for that study to get the historical background and some great pictures. And I saw an awful lot of people in these pictures that looked an awful lot like you guys. Yeah. And Gary and Winnie. So, but yeah, that was something that George and I had the privilege of studying in Israel, historical geography, to be able to see some of these places. And the way my crazy mind works, I like history and geography, and oh, that's why they had to attack the city of Jericho that way or something. So, and they're real places, and you can touch them, which will actually be one of the points today as we continue talking about the person of Jesus Christ, which is central to everything we are. So anyway, what I thought we'd do today, if you're up for it, you can put me on the spot, but ask the pastor. If you have a question about something reasonable, hopefully, but sermon, that's great, because I gave a little bit of a disclaimer last week. I was not thinking very well. I feel a lot better. I'm about 95%. But I realize sometimes in the sermons I can start talking very fast and get very dense and heavy. There's a lot of material that I'm going to try to back off of a little bit and slow down to make sure folks are getting it. So if you have questions about something that we flew by, you can listen online. All these are being recorded, and I thank Lauren and Linda for doing that, to go back and listen to it. But if you ever have questions about anything, please ask me, because I want to make sure it's clear. Or you don't misunderstand, because sometimes maybe I don't phrase it like those signs. I don't use the proper words, or my words are prone to be misinterpreted. I saw a t-shirt once that said, "I'm responsible for my words, not the way you understand them." That's an important concept. And so try to be precise with language, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right, throw the yellow flag and have me explain it, because I don't want people to misunderstand. And I thought of an idea, popped into my head, so if it pops in, I better throw it out there, that maybe a type of study on another day of the week. We've been doing Bible studies off and on, and we'll finish up Romans once the winter chickens get back, but maybe a type of study could be on a discussion, a more in-depth discussion of the message that week, where we can get a little more in-depth or ask questions or talk about application, because sometimes in the middle of a sermon, it's tough to make it apply or help folks understand how it applies. Obviously, I can't do it to each person. So maybe we'll do something like that, where if anybody's interested, I can't make you, but if you want to get more out of it, we could do something like that, or another study, doesn't matter to me. So I just like studying the Bible. Well, thank you. She says, I'm being too critical on myself. Thank you. And you guys are very positive. Every now and then I get feedback, which is very helpful. And I've asked folks, please come to me. I hope you all know I don't bite and I don't take things personally. I want you to come to me because I want feedback. Otherwise, I'm fat, dumb, and happy, and nobody knows what I'm talking about. If you're not comfortable coming to me, go to one of the deacons, go to Dennis, or anybody church leadership, you know, that they can give me the feedback. I encourage, as the Bible says, sort of the principle of, if you have a problem, maybe not a negative problem in this case, but you go to that person yourself instead of gossiping or something. That's not really what's going on here, but give me feedback. Thank you for that. I'm just conscious of that. You know, it's from excitement. And I was just talking to Dr. Merwin about this. I get excited about this stuff, and I want you to get excited, and I appreciate that you guys are excited for this. In this series, and is that helpful? Are those verses, I'm going to put you on the spot, how many of you are using those verses ahead of time and looking it up? See, that can be very helpful to look at some of the proof text. Once again, there's dangerous just pulling a verse out of its context, but those come from the author of that book that I show you, Evangelical Convictions, Dr. Greg Strand, and he's the head of our theology and credentialing. I served with him on our Board of Ministerial Standing for years and years. He's a smart, smart guy. And so I trust his verses. Trudy, they're not necessarily, found a mistake on one of them where it was Matthew, not 16:18, it was Matthew 16:16, which will be something what we're going to talk about today, that, you know, Peter, who do men say that I am, says Jesus. Peter, who do you say I am? And that is a profession of faith that is central to everything we do. So thank you for that. And I want to acknowledge that I know, which is the same reason I like to acknowledge if we go long, and folks usually lecture me about acknowledging that we're going long. No, you just go long. Okay. Today's sermon will go till 2. No. So anyway, any comments, questions, personal abuse? Yes, ma'am. Okay, could everybody hear that? Let me repeat the question, and you tell me if I get this right. Paul, New Testament, Paul writes about, of course, grace and forgiveness. that's what you said. In the Old Testament, it seems like God, there was a lot more fear in the negative sense, I'm assuming you meant that, fear of the Lord, that God was angry in the Old Testament, and there were a lot of requirements, of course you think of all the sacrificial system, things like that, that people were killed, God killed people for seemingly, I'm putting that in quotes, irrelevant things. A good example I can think of is, remember Uzzah, the man when they were transporting the ark from the Philistines, moving it back towards Jerusalem, they were transporting it in a cart. Okay, who cares? You do, because God said you're not to transport the ark in a cart. So already they are disobeying God. That's what the Levites and all those requirements were, an expression of obedience to what our holy God said to do. Very important concept. We'll talk, actually, a lot of us were out last week, and I'll touch on it again. It's the same God between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so a lot of times, one of the things that happens in the church is we think, oh, God was awfully angry in the Old Testament, and Jesus is a nice God, and he's loving. You misunderstand how holy God is. If you misbehave or don't do it, or your sin is this much, what do you deserve? Death. Physical death, and also what? Eternal death. That goes to the holiness of God, which if you were here for the first series, we did that one. I crammed that into one, and I'm sorry for that. But God, if we don't understand how holy God is and how loving he is, you can't separate the two. And so this is what we do in our culture. We go to one extreme or the other. God is love. That's what 1 John says. Yes, he is. But he is also God is light, if you remember, in 1 John. So God is completely holy and completely love. It is a holy love. He's holy. Uzzah, you touch the cart that you are not allowed to touch because it's... But he was trying to do a good thing. He disobeyed God. Death. Oh, that seems awfully... No, you don't understand how holy God is. But it's a loving holiness, which is why any one of us in this room gets to go to heaven. We're going to talk about that today, why Jesus, as our Savior, had to be sinless, had to live a perfect life, because we couldn't. And so that's why with us, if we have self-righteousness, well, but I meant well, you still disobeyed God. What do we all deserve? We all deserve hell, because two weeks ago, we talked about how bad sin is. If you don't understand that, see, then we don't think sin's that bad. Which is why, I may sound repetitive, sin is worse than we think it is. I say that an awful lot. If we don't have an appreciation of how dead we are in sin, we can't appreciate, and that has to do with God's holiness. It demands justice, demands punishment. But because God has also loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, God's holiness, he provided what we could not do, and which is why Jesus was that sacrifice. That's love. That's the, as we talked about it, I'll touch on it again, a summarize, why Jesus had to be fully God so that his sacrifice was of infinite worth. Because each one of us before a holy God, our sin, some of us are worse than others when it comes to comparing human sins, but before a holy God, our sin, even if you only told one little tiny lie and that's the only thing you ever did in your life, that is infinitely wicked against a holy God. If you don't understand that, you don't understand how big God's grace has to be. And so when it comes to the Old Testament, it's consistent, but the way the Jewish people were told to live out their obedience, not work for their salvation, but they got all those kosher, no bacon? What kind of God would not allow them to have bacon? The kosher food may seem strange to us, but there was a time and a place. Here's a term that is controversial, but it was a different dispensation for the outworking of their faith. the Israelites, Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, Elijah, none of them were saved by their works. Everyone is saved by grace through faith. But now for obedience, to live out our faith, they did sacrifices, they transported the ark the proper way. And so the separation, the holiness of God from his people demands, think of, these guys were wicked, Uzzah, probably good motives, but he disobeyed God. Think about, was it a... Okay, I'll get to that, because what is the point of how we are saved? When it came to, was it Eli, the son, his sons, two wicked priestly sons that Nadab and Abihu that were offering strange fire, going through the motions. God told them to do the incense and the Holy of Holies and very prescribed form of worship back then. Old Testament, temple, this is not the temple, I'm not the priest, but told him to do it a certain way, and they took God lightly, didn't believe him, and they were killed. The rebellion of Korah against Moses, God's holiness punishing folks that have that sin. In the case of others, sinners are forgiven because... God knows their hearts. Ultimately, we know that they have trusted God. So a harlot, Rahab, she's one of four women, a Gentile woman, a harlot, mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. You talk about grace. You talk about something that would upset the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, church people today. Harumph. Don't we know what kind of woman that is? Although there's talk about legalizing prostitution now in the United States, if you haven't been watching the news. But don't you know what kind of woman that is? Jesus eating with Republicans and sinners. And how the uptight pastors, but the Jewish leaders, doesn't he know? Of course he knows. It's an attitude of the heart and trusting and ultimately in the Savior. As opposed to living a clean life, self-righteousness, which is far too rampant, I believe, in the church, that people think they're better than they are. They don't understand how bad sin is, which then, that can get in the way of, I'm only 50% bad. I'm not nearly as bad as Gary. I'm only 50% bad, so I'm only going to believe in 50% of Jesus. That gets me to 100%. There are a lot of people who are self-righteously living good lives, moral lives, that are on their way to hell. Because as Jesus said, wide is the road, the path to hell. Narrow is the path to salvation. And when we don't understand that narrow path, God's requirements, can anybody meet God's requirements? No. Which is why what we all deserve is one thing, but what Jesus did for us because of his love and mercy, that there was an example in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they deserve? They, before the fall, very important part, and then after the fall, what did they deserve? Death was going to come. Well, physical death is a consequence of sin, and spiritual death they suffered right away. Now, Adam and Eve ultimately had to be saved by grace through faith, but look how that messed up in their relationship. Male, female, husband, wife relationships ever since have been problematic. And look at what Cain did to his brother. So now all of a sudden, now we have murder and things like that going on. So same God, same requirements, expressed differently. And what did Jesus say about that? David went in and took the bread. And what was David? Was David a good man? What did David do? He committed most of the big Ten Commandments with Bathsheba. But yet, what did God call him? a man after his own heart. There is the nature of sin. You know, I can identify with David. You know, look at the horrific. I've never done that anything that bad on a man, on human scale. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart. And when it came to the showbread on the altar, which was, it doesn't compare, trying to illustrate here, the showbread as one of the wave offerings, you asked about offerings in a deacon meeting, but the wave offering, we have candles, just we happen to. Gee, my family is in darkness and we need, is it okay to take the holy candle because we need some light for my family? Of course, it's a candle. And so David went in, and Jesus talked about that ultimately that was not for the worship, ultimately is about the good for man and God's holiness. If you will, David with a right motive, in this case, as a man after God's own heart, rather than starve, oh, I don't want to touch the holy bread, but otherwise I'm going to die. I'm making it a little extreme. And so what is the priority? What did the scribes and Pharisees get after Jesus for an awful lot? Breaking the Sabbath. I mean, think about the irony in that. God the Son, whom of course they didn't recognize, is breaking the Sabbath. Well, was he breaking the Sabbath? That's a question. Was he breaking the Sabbath? Shake your head harder. Absolutely not. Did Jesus ever sin? No. What was he breaking? Man's traditions about the Sabbath. We do that in the church all the time. We come up with our list of rules and regulations, baptize them as the new. I've got more than 10. God only had 10 commandments. I've got 38. And you people don't keep any of them. We like to set up our own agenda and our own righteousness, self-righteousness, as standards. And that's what Jesus had to point out. You've heard it said, but I say to you, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. What's the next word? Starts with an H, ends with an hypocrite. Hypocrites! You tithe your mint and cumin. Oh, look how holy we are. I pour out my salt. And then I count each grain. And I take 10% of my salt. Look how holy I am, God. I'm giving you my salt. And I'm only using 90% on my kosher, whatever it is. And so we go through the motions. It's all external and all the people. Oh, look at them. They are so holy. They're tithing their salt. And Jesus said, you're hypocrites. You tithe your mint and cumin, but neglect the weightier matters of the law. Okay, righteousness, justice. And so Jesus, was it right for Jesus, God the Son, on the Sabbath to heal people? But he's breaking the Sabbath. No, he wasn't, and he had to explain. Okay, you guys are hypocrites. Man, the Sabbath was meant for man, not to put bondage on the people. Folks, and that's what we do in the church, and we pastors are very good. It's easier to control you wayward sheep with bondage and legalism. And so we bring down all these rules and regulations. You've probably heard the scribes, the Pharisees, and Judaism as a false religion today puts all sorts of rules and regulations, hedge around the law. So that, we take the law so seriously, the Sabbath, that's one of the big 10, that's important. And for Israel, very specific. You know, there's a principle for us today. I don't believe the church necessarily as far as the Sabbath on Saturday or Sunday, but idea of resting in who we are, important. But for Israel, it was commanded, Exodus 31:19, the Sabbath is for Israel to keep. And what was the purpose? To show that they are resting in what God has done for his people. Take a day off from working and toiling. You know, give your fields a Sabbath every 7 years. Let your fields lie fallow. And the idea then of keeping the Sabbath, that's important. Well, I can't just tell you people to keep the Sabbath. I have to come up with some rules to make sure you keep the Sabbath. So I'm going to start putting up fences around the Sabbath. And so in Israel, in Jerusalem, not a lot of tall buildings, but in one of the buildings, I've told you this, mini skyscraper, 8 floors, I don't know. They have Sabbath elevators. Because pushing a button is work. And you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. You know, how hyper-literalistic they are. And so the idea of these Sabbath elevators then automatically stop at each floor because you don't want to work because we're protecting the Sabbath. Hypocrisy. You know, so I get my boy to jump in an elevator and make every elevator a Sabbath. Push all the buttons and get off. But when we add to God's commandments, watch out, because then that shows we don't think Jesus is enough. That'll be this message, and then next week, the work of Christ. Folks, this, please listen, and if I get too passionate, wave, slow down, but if you add to Christ, you have just added to the gospel, and which is not the gospel law. Read Galatians. That's why Paul wrote Galatians, that the gospel, any other gospel other than grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone, and ultimately trusting in God. So not works, not what we do, folks. You add to Christ. I don't know if you have, what do you believe about Jesus? Oh yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a nice teacher. No, he is the infinitely perfect sacrifices, the Son of God, that the only reason we are righteousness is because we have his righteousness credited to our account. Folks, that is the good news. So how should we live our, I'm glad we don't have to carry arks around. We don't have to, you know, do all this stuff. Do we want to obey? Do we want to please God? I would hope so. Is it because we think we have to? Or because we want to? There's a big difference there. You know, they are commandments, we ought to obey, but the heart is what God is looking at. I've made the statement, and this is what Old Testament, a lot of the confusion, look at what God did, look what they had to do. The idea of God, listen very carefully to this, God does not want our obedience, he wants our heart. Because where our heart is, what's going to follow? Our obedience for the right reason. Folks, we obey for the right reason. If you're not obeying because out of gratefulness and gratitude for God's grace, because I don't deserve it, I want to please God, I want to obey, I want to keep that ark from falling down, but my heart, it's because I recognize what God has done. That's what God wants, our hearts. And so it's oftentimes in the church, it's not so much the action. Now, obviously, if some people then go on the other extreme, what's called antinomianism, against where, well, as long as I love God, I can be a good Christian bank robber. I can be a good Christian murderer. No, you're missing the point. You know, but out of a heart, a grateful heart, flows true obedience that brings God glory. It's not about you and how good you are. It's about how good Christ is and what he did for us. And when we rest, that'll be part of today. Hopefully, to me, this is very freeing for me. Resting in God's grace. Appreciating, basking in God's grace. I suspect there are a lot of us who suffer with a lot of issues, depression, guilt, all sorts of things in our lives that against a holy God, it's horrible. But aren't you glad God can't love us any less or any more if we are in Christ? And that's why getting us to Christ is central. It all starts with that. All this other stuff, the series, preaching the Bible, I can give you a list of things to do. I can give you a therapeutic, moralistic, you know, be nice people, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't date girls that do, you know, don't dance, don't go to movies, don't play face cards, and you can feel good. Look how wonderful I am. You know, maybe you shouldn't do that stuff, but that's not getting you any brownie points before God. Hopefully you're doing it out of faith, that just you're convicted that you shouldn't do that, because whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. When we get to Romans 14, very important chapter in our Romans study, you know, the practical side of that. So anyway, very good question. Same God. We're going to talk about that today. The requirements for what they had to do to express their obedience, different back then. Aren't you glad? Let me read. Okay, yeah, no. But did you believe? Did you believe? Did you have a heart? See, that's the Rahab. And she was not an Israelite, but within, David was. He should have known better. Why didn't he die right away? By grace through faith. And so there's the, we don't know ultimately the heart of people. Obedience is important, but it's not about what we do. It's about the faith in the God who does on our behalf. And that is very freeing. This verse will come up later, and I may, for the sake of time in the sermon, once again, I don't want to give you too much, but Hebrews 10, verses beginning in verse 11. And every priest, Hebrews, don't know who wrote Hebrews, New Testament. What do you think Hebrews is written to? To the Hebrews. So this is a very Jewish book going back. And if you want to summarize the theme of the book of Hebrews, wonderful book. We've got to do this one too sometime. This will take us years if I don't skim over it. Maybe I just need to learn to skim better. But there's so much there. Jesus is better than. Jesus is better than. And so they talk about angels and the law and Melchizedek and all these things. Jesus is better than the high priest. Why was there a high priest in the Old Testament? Why don't we have high priests today? Hebrews 10, verse beginning of verse 11. And every priest, Aaron, you know, Aaron, Moses' brother, stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So all those sacrifices weren't to take away sins. They were an expression of obedience to the ultimate. Well, let's continue on. But this man, capital M, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's going to be part of, if you did your homework, you saw some of those verses. What is Jesus doing now, if you will? He is our high priest sitting at the right hand of God, called the session, which just is a word for sitting at the right hand of the Father. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, being set apart, being conformed to the images of Son. Theirs are growing and maturing and being more righteous. It's because Christ is helping us by faith be conformed to his image. For by one offering, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, then goes on, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness, confidence, to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. So the Holy of Holies, what a picture of God, the Shekinah glory, the Ark of the Covenant, why that was so important and we don't understand it, but why it was very prescribed. The high priest on the day of Yom Kippur, one day out of the year, went into the Holy of Holies to be a mediator, in their form of worship, where what happened when Jesus, as he died, what happened to the veil of the temple? What a picture that now we are no longer the unwashed masses. You know, the high priest, I always had access. You people, you didn't have any. No, but now we have access because of what Christ did. The having boldness, confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. And so there's that, the relationship we can have with the Father through the Son as applied by the Holy Spirit. And so, folks, that is huge. And unfortunately, we in the church don't, don't get that fully. We shortchange our sin, which means we shortchange what Jesus did and who he was and what he did. And then we live our lives shortchanging it. It's not about Jesus, it's about us. So anyway, other questions? Any others? Did that make sense? Did I talk too fast? I mean, there's a lot of depth there, and that's, I mean, this is consistent message. God saves sinners. Good message for the Bible. Right. Yeah, God hasn't changed his view on sin. Sin is still infinitely wicked, and that's why the world doesn't get this. Unfortunately, there are people that I think are deceived in the church that don't get this. It's simple, right? You believe in Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Who is Jesus? There's some fundamental things you have to understand and believe, which is not believe here. It's fully trust with your very being in your life, which is why we're taking time to go through this convictions and consequences, because not this group, but in the church, we are woefully illiterate about what God's word says, and therefore we don't appreciate some of the concepts that we just glibly throw out or put on bumper stickers. God saves sinners. Yep, but who is God? Holy. What does it mean to save? How bad is our sin? What are God's requirements? His law. Paul, the Pharisee, Saul, he was Saul the Pharisee. You talk about us of the stock of Benjamin, circumcised on the, you talk about a guy who had the Jewish church credentials, we might say, and he says, what I had, I count as loss for Jesus Christ. But he can appreciate the holiness of God and how Jesus satisfies that. See, that's why Jesus, today's message, why Jesus lived a perfect life. That's called his active obedience. He kept the law for you and me. Because the standard is 100% to get into God's heaven. Now, can anybody here get 100%? Of course not. Billy Graham? Absolutely not. Mother Teresa? No, absolutely not. That's why Jesus kept it for us. And then his passive obedience, God the Son, why he had to be fully man so that he could be a qualified representative, a human for us to die in our place. That'll be more on that next week. He is our substitute and our representative dying in our place. So that's good news. But yeah, God's standards haven't changed. Jesus, you've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. But I say to you, because literalistically, I doubt anybody here has actually committed physical murder, right? But Jesus says, but you know what? It's not just about keeping, never murdered physically. But in our heart, that type of attitude or unforgiveness or things like that shows that we don't recognize who God is and how bad sinners we are, and maybe a little humility on our parts. That's one of the things that we pastors and in the church, especially, the churches in general. I'm glad I'm not like those Lutherans down the road. I'm glad I'm not like Lake George Bible Church. I'm glad I'm not a Roman Catholic. We're pretty proud of our historical, because Community Fellowship of Christians, we are the elite of the elite. But the minute you start putting our trust in our church membership versus, no, my confidence. Paul, I've been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith and the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians, but I shall only glory, my paraphrase here, I'm blanking on this one, but glory in the cross of Christ, not in who I am, Paul. I mean, he's got more credentials than any of us. But he put his trust and his, you know, don't look at me in my sin. Look at Jesus, because as a Christian, I am in Christ. So. Well, and what do you mean by that? Because that's a big topic.
We make our own choices.
With day to day, right.
Right.
Well, but and part of it, and this would be the same in the Old Testament, we get the examples given to us about, in the case, let's use, Uzzah's a tough one, because he seemed like a nice guy, but I don't know his heart, but he was directly disobeying God. The king, the David, he would bring in the ark. David should have known better. And so the troops sometimes suffer because the general has disobeyed God. So poor guy, I don't know the condition of his heart, if he's in heaven or not. But the corrupt sons of Eli, the priest, and Samuel, just wicked, wicked. That shows how their hearts were. We can't see people's hearts. We love to be fruit inspectors. See, we love, Patsy, I'm concerned about you because you're not doing it the way I want, is usually where it comes down to. And so the idea of where is our heart? Is anybody in here capable of not sinning between now and death or Jesus comes? No. Now that's a, Keswick theology. There are perfection, and there are misunderstandings that somehow we can get to perfection this side of heaven. But that's part of it, is that we hopefully are getting better. And, maybe sins I struggled with 20 years ago, hopefully I'm getting better, but ultimately my standing before God cannot change if I'm in Christ. And that's the central issue of being in Christ, trusting, believing in Jesus. What does that mean? And there's and sometimes we make a, do you believe in, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. What does it mean to believe? Who is Jesus? It's not just intellectual consent. It is who we are. And so what you're talking about, the idea of the things we do in our lives, we mess up. But yet, God knows our hearts. And when he sees you kicking your dog again, Patsy, you need to stop doing that. You're kicking your husband, which, let me kick him next time. But he doesn't see you so much. This is a hard concept, but he sees Jesus, and he knows your heart, that in Christ said, Pat, don't do that. And there's the chastening for the whom God loves, Proverbs 3, Old Testament, Hebrews 12, the idea of children, fathers discipline children. Why? Because he loves them. And so therefore, as Christians, our conscience, we are convicted of sin. God works on us. I hope, ideally, in our lives, when we sin, we feel wormy, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and God is helping us recognize, don't overdose on drugs again. In that sense, sometimes there are addictions and it's tough. Sometimes there's, you might sin unto death, take an overdose and die. But if you're a Christian, see, once again, your status before God doesn't change. And that's hard for us to understand, because we set up our own standards versus God, who knows our heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. I don't know, if I knew what was in your hearts, I'd run out of here shrieking. If you knew what was in my heart, you'd run out of here shrieking and fire me as pastor. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give everyone according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. And so from corrupt hearts flow corrupt actions, which is why we need a transformed heart. The Holy Spirit takes the heart of stone out of our flesh and gives us a heart of flesh. The whole regeneration, new birth. Nick at night, Nicodemus, Yeah. How can I be born again? Climb in. And that's an interesting passage, but ultimately Nicodemus was being a little sarcastic with Jesus, you know, trying to ask him, well, Jesus, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? And Jesus got right to the heart of the matter and said, no, Nicodemus, unless you are washed, which is an Old Testament picture for the teacher of Israel, sanctified, cleansed, the whole idea of washing and the sprinkling, and so pictures of what the Holy Spirit does, you don't get to go to heaven unless you are cleansed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. See, once again, it's all ultimately of God and how our faith, we respond and then hopefully live lives of faith tied to that. But God knows our hearts. We can deceive ourselves. Sometimes we are pretty proud of our motives, where if I knew your motive, I might be thinking, oh, Patsy, I don't think that means what you think it means, you know, and you're old, but I'm pure as the driven snow as you're kicking Terry out the door. You know, that's, I'm doing it for his own good. Well, maybe so. So, but all right, I think we're done. We can, we'll figure out what we're going to do. One thing we could do, and maybe Gary is okay with this, you had a video series you were thinking about that maybe not. If you would like, I'm willing to do this because I enjoy this. If you guys enjoy it, if you don't, hey, fine. Write down some topics that you would like to have addressed. You know, and I could pass out some cards or something, and we could address different topics that you want. I want it to be relevant to you. Now I may push back a little bit, sort of a little bit like what I do with Patsy, just the idea, now what do you mean by that? Because sometimes people are asking questions that, okay, I don't know if you are coming at that the way you want to or think you are, or in this group I don't expect it, but sometimes you get skeptics who are trying to stump the fool. Well, that's easy to do, but trying to find, look, the Bible contradicts itself here. Well, does it? And so we can look at some of those, but you know, we should approach God's word hopefully with an attitude of trust and wanting to grow to please him. So, fair enough? Well, thank you for listening. Hope that was helpful. Good question. And that's will come up a little more tonight. And Patsy, good question as well, because once again, God, it's, are we obeying God with the right heart? That's what it comes down to, because Jesus did it for us. So, Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, and your holiness. And we thank you that Jesus, we are complete in him. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.